Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome back to the Radio Theater Channel's weekly podcast. This time we have British comedies on hand, and we're going to start off with The Clitheroe Kid and Funfair Hits Town from 1972.
Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
The Day That the Funfair Hit Town. Good evening. This is Percy Throwback. This week we're in the grounds of that famous gardener, Greenfinger's Grandad Sinclair.
Oh, no. This morning it was Jimmy Savile.
First of all, the cabbage patch, where we can see this fine, healthy crop of dandelions. The cabbages we pulled up, they were so bad the slugs refused to eat them.
Oh, James, will you stop it?
And here is Mr. Sinclair's scarecrow. Oh, no, it's Mr. Brocklebank.
You're asking for trouble, my lad.
And here he is, Greenfinger's granddad himself. Tell me, Mr. Sinclair, is it true that the other evening you wanted your plum tree with whiskey by mistake and got stewed prunes?
Oh, James, that's enough.
And could I ask you, Mr. Brocklebank, if you put fertilizer on your rhubarb?
Well, yes, I do.
Well, everybody to their own taste. We put custard on ours.
Oh, don't talk, silly.
Will you stop this nonsense? Find something to do and be quiet.
Oh, all right, Mum. What shall I do?
Look, James, I'll show you how to make a bunny rabbit with your hanky.
Oh, no. No, the excitement to give me nightmares.
Now. Now, look. I fold my hanky thus and thus. No, I'm wrong. I fold it like so and so.
You fold that over there and this over here.
You old so-and-so.
With respect, Mr. Sinclair, I think you fold this over here and that over there.
It's that under here and this under there, you ninny.
Look, what does it matter which is over what?
It matters a lot, ma'am. If we don't do it properly, Bugs Bunny might end up with only one ear.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Alfie.
And talking about one ear, we've got a right one ear.
I'm only passing, really, but I've got a message for Mr. Sinclair. Oh, Mr. Bicklebunk. Oh, you're making a mouse.
Pardon, Alfred.
With your hanky. You made a mouse. Well, what's it doing with two tails?
Alfie, what's this message you've got for me?
It's from Mr. Whittle. I can see his nose and his neck. Not Mr. Whittle's, the mouse. But you've got his back end wrong. You should have folded this over here like that. Now, you see, it's got two noses. No, I'll start again.
Alfie's going to start again. Has everybody brought pyjamas?
Shut up, Jimmy. Alfie, this message from Mr. Whittle.
Yeah, well, that's what he told me to tell you. Well, not you, Mrs. Clitheroe. It's not a secret. It's just for Mr. Sinclair. You fold the hanky in two like this.
Will you tell me the message from Whittle, you fool?
I told him to say I was going to pay you a sociable call, Pete.
Yes, he told me to say. Oh, he has done. But not told me, though he did. That's why I called him, but I didn't. Well, I did call him, but I didn't say he was. I forgot, but now he's here, I needn't bother. Next you tie a knot, Mr. Bucklebelt.
Tie a knot where?
In Alfie's tongue, then perhaps he'll shut up.
And you shut up as well. Hello, Harry. You're quite a stranger. Nice to see you.
Oh, my own sentiments exactly, Pat. It has been some little time since I clasped eyes on you. Well, as they say in eastern climates, long time no shufti. Hello there, Hump.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Hey, what's that you doing in your hanky? Mm-hmm. Ah, you're making a bird, eh? What is it? Tawny puppet or a pie-eyed wagtail?
It's supposed to be a bunny rabbit, but Alfred says it's a mouse.
Balderdash, it's a bird. Look, there's its legs, and there's its beak. But it's got no tail. Look, I'll show you what to do if you'll allow me to remonstrate.
Oh, go ahead, Whack. Don't keep us in suspenders.
Now, Luke, you put this over here. No, I've made a Guy Fawkes pass. I'll start again. Hold a hanky in four. Put this over there and that over here. You tie a knot there.
So you've been away on another road building job, eh, Harry?
Oh, that's right, Pat. But the natives was very friendly and amenable, so I'm back home in one piece again.
Oh, have you been somewhere foreign, then?
Oh, Birmingham.
Don't be funny.
Oh, Jim's right, Pat. Dear old Birmingham. Or as the inhabitables call it, Brummagem.
And you say when you got back to your flat, you couldn't park your car.
That's right. When I went to my usual parking place, there was nowhere to stick my Chipolle.
Oh, dear. That was a tragical.
Be quiet. Do you still park your car on that spare land, Harry?
Oh, but not today. A funfair beat me to it. Yeah, you should see the place. You can't move for rubby horses and dodging cars. Talk about pandemonia.
But I passed here yesterday and there was no funfair there.
Ah, well, they only moved in last night, Pete. The fair doesn't start till Saturday. They're still putting everything up with the help of several local young juniviles. I was surprised you weren't there, Jim.
Why were the kids getting paid money, Harry?
Well, you could construct it that way, Pat. The lads who's doing the putting up gets free goes at all the rides and sideshows on Saturday afternoon.
What? And I didn't know about it. I'm slipping.
You are, Jim. Even I used to do that job when I was a lad, helping with the fair.
Well, thanks for your help, Alfred.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Brittlebonk.
It'll go all right now I've cleaned your plugs. What for?
Pardon, Alfie.
Mr. Sinclair mentioned it as we came in, or weren't we supposed to hear?
We were talking about kids helping to put the fun fair up.
Oh, I did that once when I was a kid. Never again. I put some poles up the wrong way, the whole tent collapsed on the boss and knocked his head in a coconut. It split open and all milk came out. No, not out of his head, the coconut, no. They had to stick a bandage on it, not the coconut, his head. He gave it to me to get rid of me, and my mum ground it up for cakes. The coconut, not his head.
But you still drink your tea out of a cup?
Oh, yes, I never drink it any other way. Say, but what's drinking tea got to do with a fair?
I've no idea. It's your story.
How about you, Hump? I bet you've had some unforgettable moments at the fair in your younger days.
Yeah, well, all this does take me back to a wonderful day on the fairground. I drove the little engine and I blew the little whistle. Boop, boop, it went. And then I sat on the little fire engine and I rang the little bell. Tingling, tingling.
How old were you at the time, Hump?
35.
When you see Mr. Higginbottom in the pub, tell him to keep that son of his in order. I won't have him fighting with Jimmy like this.
Quite right, Mum.
All right, Pat. But you're not telling me it was all Ozzy's fault. Takes two to start a fight.
I know. Charlie Thompson hit me as well.
It was 2-1, then.
3, Mum. Specky Barraclough had a go at me as well. Mind you, I soon fixed him.
Oh.
I pinched his glasses. It was funny. I pointed to Ozzy, and in Ozzy's dubby voice, I said to Specky, "There's Jimmy Clitheroe, thumping one."
No wonder there was a fight. Well, that settles one thing. You don't go with a gang to that fairground again.
I won't, Grandad. I'll go on my own. And if I see him, I'll just keep me distance and wave me fist.
You won't, you know.
No, perhaps it'd be wrong to wave. I'll just ignore him.
I mean, you won't go to that fairground without an adult. I'm not having you coming home in this state again.
Right, Mum. Grandad, I'll meet you inside the Bearded Lady's caravan 2:00. You knock 3 times and ask for whiskers.
That'll do now. Your mother and I are going to Aunt Lily's tomorrow afternoon to help her get settled in a new house.
But the free pass is only for tomorrow afternoon.
Now, you heard what I said. You don't go on that fairground unless you're with an adult. Somebody we know that we can trust.
Oh, heck. Who could take me? I know. The vicar. I mean, he's sure to be free. He only works Sundays.
Well, look, when you phone somebody to take you to the fair, come and tell us who it is.
Yes, Grandad. Now, who could I get to take me? Well, I could always ask me daft sister. Yeah, I'll wash this dirt off me and then go and find her. And then I'll turn on the charm. Oh, there you are, Miss Welsh. Could I have a word with you, Miss Welsh? If I'm not disturbing you, Miss Welsh.
What do you mean, Miss Welsh?
You are Raquel Welsh, aren't you?
No, you may be surprised to know my name is Susan Clitheroe.
Oh, you've changed it, have you? Well, you're still just as lovely.
And you're just as cheeky. Get out of my room.
Now, don't be like that, Susan. I want us to be friends.
Really? Now, that's a nice sort of a thing that makes a girl's day for her, when a little menace wants to be friends with her.
But I'm not just any little menace. I'm your brother. I mean, if I've ever been naughty or caused you trouble, I'd like to say I'm sorry and shake you by the throat. And...
You nearly slipped up there, didn't you, brother dear?
Listen, Susan, I want us to be pals. And to prove it, I'd like to take you out tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, where to?
Oh, you'll have a marvellous time. Oh, there'll be dozens of men there just dying to meet you.
At the fairground?
Yeah, there's Mr. Atlas, the strongest man in the world. You'll be all right there when he gets you in a clinch. Fairground?
That's where you want me to go with you, isn't it?
Well, yes, I thought you'd enjoy it. It's all free. Well, it is for me. And I'm sure there'd be plenty of mugs, men, who pay for you.
Oh, I'm sure I'd have a marvellous time.
Yeah, I can just see you now sliding down the helter-skelter in your hot pants. Don't slide too fast, though, or your hot pants might catch fire.
I'm going to Auntie Lily's tomorrow afternoon with Mother and Granddad.
I could take you on the ghost train. That'd be fun.
I've told you I'm going to Auntie's tomorrow. And if I wasn't, I wouldn't want to go to the fairground with you. Now clear off.
Listen, Scrag. Sister dear, how did you know it was the fairground?
Because I was listening to the row you had with Mother and Granddad just now at the top of the stairs.
You nosy Parker.
I know. I take you after my brother.
Listen, be careful what you say, or you might not get to the fairground. I could change my mind, you know.
I'll change it for you. Clear out.
I'm not joking, you know. If you don't watch what you're saying, you've had the fairground.
Oh, that would be a tragedy. All those wonderful men I'd miss. Who are they again?
Well, there's Daff Willie on the rifle range. He's been crazy about you ever since he pinned your photo up on his stall for the customers to shoot at.
Oh, do I take it from that remark that I'm not lovely anymore?
You can take it any way you like. I was mad to say you could go in the ghost train with me. With your face, you'd scare all the ghosts away.
Oh, that does it. Go on, get out. Get out of my room. Go on.
Oh, there you are. My man was right.
Oh, hello, James. What do you mean?
I saw her in the butcher's, and she said she left three fine, handsome men in the house. Now, I worked it out on my way home. You each do a two-hour shift. Well, come on. Who's taking me? Mr. Whittle? Mr. Brocklebank? Alfie, old friend. So none of you want to take me, eh? Right. I'll go on my own, see? Yeah, see?
But you can't go on your own. You'll be in trouble. Your granddad will give you a belt.
No, not give you one, thump you one.
I don't care. I'd sooner be thumped than be kicked out of the Black Hand gang for being chicken.
Now, James, that's silly.
Don't talk to me, you. In fact, I don't want to talk to any of you. And when I do get belted, don't try getting round me with sympathy. It'll take money. what a liberty. None of the Black Hand gang in sight. I risk a belting to come to the fairground, and I can't even frighten Ozzy in the ghost train.
Oh, hello there, James. I've found you at last.
Mr. Brocklebank, what are you doing here? I thought you were at home, booting in the culture.
Pardon?
The opera. Listening to some old fat old woman singing. My tiny nose is frozen. 'Cause I jammed it in the fridge.
Oh, really, James. Look, my sister is taking the opera down on her tape recorder because I decided to come with you, after all, to save you from a thrashing.
You're a pal, Mr. Brocklebank. And you won't be sorry. We'll have a smashing time. We'll go on the Caterpillar, the Moon Rocket, the Big Dipper.
No, James. I'm afraid I couldn't go on those. My stomach turned over the last time I went on the Helter Skelter.
Well, do you think you could stand an exciting trip round the fairy grotto?
Hello there, Jim, you young scallywaggle.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
You're here in Harlem. I thought you were in the orchestra alone, reviling yourself with a few operatical areas.
Oh, no, his sister's bunging it down on their tape recorder.
Hello, Whittle. It would appear we both changed our minds to help James.
Yes, well, I thought we'd all be in a bit self-indulgent, you know. Letting Jim get into bother because none of us would give him our accompaniment.
Yeah, quite. That's what I thought, more or less.
Well, you're both great, and the three of us can have a smashing time now.
Ah, we can that, Jim. I love throwing the wooden balls at the coconuts, or the crazy home where the funny heads keep popping up and down.
Oh, there you are, Jimmy.
Well, you can start throwing. Here's one of the funny heads now.
I've looked all over the fairground for you, Mr. Brocklebank. Bunk. Not look for you, Mr. Bricklebunk, for him. Mr. Whittle has as well. Not look for Mr. Whittle as well. I mean, he's here as well. You're all here.
So are you. But you're not all there.
Yeah, well, I am now. You're not there, are you? I've come to mind you. And Mr. Whittle, and Mr. Brocklebank as well. Not me come to mind them, they've come...
To mind you?
Yes, no. you fool.
Oh, I've come to mind you.
Yeah, of course, because I... No, me, you.
You, not me. Me?
Me.
Him, Tarzan. You, Cheetah.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, dear me.
Here. Drink this water, Holmes.
Thank you. What an experience. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, well, it was all that up and down that did it.
What, did you take him on the Big Dipper?
No, I took him on the hobby horses.
What have you got there, James?
Oh, it's a prize Alfie won for me on the hoopla stall. A tuppenny bag of jelly babies.
Yes, I kept trying, but in the end I got the knack. The hoop dropped right over the jelly baby.
Well, that was clever of you, Alfred.
Yeah, a tuppenny bag of jelly babies he won, and it only cost him 75 new pence. You daft looking twit, why didn't you give me the money? Mr. Whittle, can you come quick? Alfie's having a row with a man at a stall.
Alfie having a row? Losing his temper? I didn't think anything could make Alfie get his dandy up. Where is the fricassee?
He's the stall where the man sits on a seat over the water, and if you hit the bullseye, drops in. Over here, come on.
Right, lead on, Plum Duff, as Shakespeare said.
It's a swindle. It's a blooming twist. That I hit it fair and square in his eye. The bull, I mean. And he didn't drop in. The man, not the bull.
Now, look, mate. Now, look. Will you belt up? I've given you a prize, right? You've got a teddy bear, ain't I? Now, what more do you want?
He wants a dolly that says, Mama.
That's right. No, it's... Say, shut up.
I just want a teddy bear, but I want him to fall in the water.
Why, what's the teddy bear done to you?
No, see, I didn't mean it. I mean him, the man.
What's up, Alfie?
Oh, hello, Mr. Whittle. It's him. I hit it, but he didn't go down, and he says it's working properly. But if it is, then why didn't he go down? Not him, he said it. Him over there who didn't. Follow me. No, said it.
Now, look, mister. Now, look, if this bloke's a friend of yours, do you mind taking him away back to his padded cell?
Well, don't you start insulating, my friend.
Look, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to run a stall. But it's stupid. Look, this friend of yours is causing trouble. He's ruining my business. I admit he hit the ball, but the spring on the seat must have jammed, so Charlie didn't fall in.
Exactly. And he should have done. So tell him to jump.
Look. Now, look. I don't understand why you're complaining. I've given you the prize you wanted, the teddy bear.
But he hasn't got his doll.
Well, all right, he can have a doll as well and a dummy if he wants it.
I don't want a doll, just a teddy bear. Well, I don't want a teddy, but well, I do, but I don't, but Susan does. Well, she will do when she knows I've got it, but I want the man. I not want him to fall, I mean, not the teddy bear.
Well, that seems clear enough, mister.
So what's he mean?
He hit the bull in the eye, so the man should have thrown the teddy bear in the water to save the bull for Susan.
what are you lot doing here, eh? I have you escaped from a zoo?
Now, just watch it there. Don't you go casting nastertions on my parentals.
Oh, you're driving me up the wall, you are. All of you. Now, look, just clear off, or me and Charlie will drop you all in the water. Hey, Charlie, come here. Go on, get lost.
Don't push me.
Oh, what? We'll push your faces in if you don't blow, mate.
Right, you've asked for it. Get your ducks up. You and Charlie going to Waterloo.
Yeah,
I'll desecrate the pair of you.
That's right, Wagger. Take him apart to see what makes him tickle.
I don't care whether you hit the bullseye or not. What concerns me is you hit the two men who work for me on the stall, Bob and Charlie, and now I've got no one to look after my business.
Ah, didn't it? Mr. Whittle did.
Well, where is he?
He's gone to the first aid post to get some plaster on his knuckles. Bob and Charlie kept hitting his fist with their chins.
Don't be funny.
Yes, quiet, James. I can't believe this, sir. Now, is it true, Alfred, Mr. Whittle indulged in a brawl?
Well, I don't know about that, but he had a fight. Oh, yeah, that's what you mean. Yes, he did.
He was terrific, Mr. Brocklebank. He bashed the two of them all on his own.
Yeah, but yes, well, I was going to help him, but I was on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't at first, but I was when the fire started. Yeah, not lying on it, fell on it. I was running to join in and I tripped over something.
Yeah, it was his mouth.
Luke, what about this Whittle character?
Well, I can only say that it really surprises me.
It was a bit of a shock for Bob and Charlie. Of course, Mr. Whittle used to box in the army, you know.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. He was the Muggle Light champion of Fazakerly Dockers Light Infantile Regiment.
Luke, never mind all this rubbish. There's nobody at my stall and I'm losing money and somebody's going to pay for it.
Just a minute. How much did you pay Bob and Charlie?
£1 an hour each. Why?
Well, don't worry about your thing then. Just get your wallet out and leave the rest to me and my merry men.
There he is, Pat, over there. Jimmy, hey, Jimmy, come here.
So, Mr. Higginbottom was right. He did come after all.
Ah, the young villain.
Hello, Mum. Hello, Grandad. Hey, you're just in time to come with me on the big wheel. Mind, you'll have to hold your skirt down, especially you, Grandad. Your kilt, I mean.
You're a cheeky young scamp.
He's trying to play the innocent, Father.
I know. He's barefaced.
Of course I am. Did you expect me to have grown a beard since this morning?
Don't be so cheeky.
I hope you've enjoyed yourself here, my lad.
Oh, I have.
Aye, well, you'll pay for it when you get home.
But it's all for it. Wait a minute, what's up?
We told you that you couldn't come here without a grown-up.
But you defied us. Here you are, on your own. Just as Higginbottom said you would be.
Oh, so old foggone friend opened his Mersey tunnel, did he? I suppose Fat Ozzy told him. Well, wait till I see Blabbermouth. I'll take a penalty with his head.
You won't be able to move when I've finished with you.
You won't hit me when you see me friends.
You're begging for it.
I'll put you across my knee and your friends as well.
Well, you'll need a big knee, especially for Mr. Whittle.
Mr. Whittle?
Yes, and Mr. Brocklebank and Alfie. They're all here with me. Come on, over here. I'll show you.
But, you mean you came with them?
Oh, well, they're with me, yes. So you'd better put Ozzy across your knee. Or better still, let Shovel Hands Higginbottom do it himself.
But why did the three of them come here?
They work here. At least they are doing today. Look, there they are. Come on.
Come along, folks, come along. 3 balls for 5 pence.
You try your luck. Try your luck. All the fun of the fair. Hit the bullseye and drop the man in the water.
It's easy, folks. Only a tap needed. All the family can do it. Ladies, gents, or juniviles. Try your luck, madam. Oh, heck, it's you, Pete. I'm sorry about that. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Well, are you satisfied?
Here you are, sir. 6 balls, that is 10 pence. That's correct, thank you. fire away. Drop the man in the water.
Where's Alfie? Jimmy?
He's the man you drop in the water. Hey, Alfie, everything all right?
No, it isn't. The bloody water looks cold.
Don't worry. You hit the bullseye, remember? It doesn't work.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Dare as Susan, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank. The programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
A smashing day, and they all came back to our house for supper. Even Alfie was all right, until me mum said he might have caught a chill and told him to get in a hot bath. They wanted to give me a pound from their wages, but I thought I ought to say I didn't want it. But I thought they might believe me, so I took it.
This week's program is all about English comedies. We're going to start another one right now from Dad's Army. Round and round went the great big wheel. This is from 1976.
We present Arthur Lowe, John LaMeasurer, and Clive Dunn in Dad's Army. Round and round went the great big wheel, featuring John Lorre, Arnold Ridley, and Ian Lavender, with this week's guests Bill Pertwee, Larry Martin, John Barron, and Michael Knowles. Here is the news, and this is John Snagg reading it. As 1942 dawns, with renewed enemy activity on all fronts, the need for newer and more devastating weapons becomes number one priority. In an underground room at the War Office, Colonel Pierce, officer commanding secret weapons, very carefully opens a small cardboard box, which he hands to his adjutant.
There you are, Stuart. What do you make of that?
Looks like a shoebox, sir.
Inside the box, you idiot!
Sorry. It's a wheel, sir.
Well done, Stuart. That's exactly what it is. A wheel, but with a difference. This is a scale model of the secret weapon we shall be testing at Warmington next Saturday.
Awfully exciting, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, the actual wheel itself stands some 20 feet high and contains 2,000 pounds of high explosive. It'll knock out an enemy pillbox, no matter how thick, up to a range of 3 miles. Now, what do you think of that, eh? It's called the High Explosive Attack Device, propelled by ultra-high frequency. For short, they've called it by the code name, Head Poof.
I like it, sir.
Yes. Now, by means of a simple control panel, the wheel will do anything we want it to do. Turn left,
turn right, even go round obstacles.
That's awfully clever, sir.
Yes, this wheel could well be the turning point in the whole war. So I don't have to tell you, Stuart. It's red hot. I hope you've got the security well buttoned up.
Yes, sir. I've done a thorough recce of the airfield at Warmington-on-Sea.
Oh, good, good. Bit off the beaten track, but ideal for our purpose. Now, we'll need quite a few troops to keep the area sealed off.
Yes, sir. Mm. I thought instead of using regular troops, we could use those, what do you call them? Those, home things.
What? Home things? Oh, you mean the home guards? Yes, it's very good.
Yes, that's right. There are three home guard platoons in the area.
Yeah.
The East Gate under Captain Square.
Yeah.
They'll guard the entrances to the airfield.
Mm-hmm.
The Dimwich under Captain Graham.
Yeah.
They'll patrol the perimeter and keep out any snoopers.
Yes, but what about admin, fatigues, cookhouse and digging the latrines? All the dirty jobs. Now, who's going to do these?
I thought the Warmington-on-Sea platoon. It's run by Captain Mannering. He's the local bank manager.
Oh, yeah. And what did he say when you asked him to do the fatigues?
I haven't told him yet. I'm getting down to see him today.
Well, it's not going to be easy to convince him that his platoon should do all the dirty work.
Don't worry, sir. I'll talk him into it. Give him plenty of soft soap. Butter him up, you know.
Well, that's right. Make him feel important. There's nothing bank managers like better than feeling important.
And that, Captain Mannering, is a brief outline of the test. I don't want to take up too much of your time. After all, you're a very important man.
Oh, I wouldn't say I was important. Would you, Wilson?
No, not really, no.
Thank you, Wilson.
Well, Captain Mannering, I've told you what the other Home Guard platoons will be doing at the test, but I haven't said what you'll be doing, have I?
I'm eager to hear, sir.
Well, the fact is, I don't quite know how to put this. You see, the fact is, there are several things that have to be done. Not very pleasant things. And I, well, that's to say, we...
Say no more, sir. What you're trying to tell me is that you want us for special duties.
Do I? Yes, that's right. I want you for special duties.
You can rely on us, sir.
Exactly what are special duties, sir?
Well,
Oh, really, Wilson, what a question to ask. It's top secret. Hush, hush. We shall find out when we get there.
Oh, yes, you'll find out all right. Now, Captain Mannering, I want you to get your chaps together and brief them. And don't forget, absolute secrecy. Oh, and here's a list of things to bring with you.
Ah, thank you, sir. You can trust my chaps. They won't breathe a word to a soul. And may I add how proud and privileged I am that you've chosen my platoon to carry out these... special duties.
Yes, well, see you on Saturday, then. Good night.
Good night, sir.
What an awfully nice chap, wasn't he?
Yes, wasn't he? Now, special duties call for special measures. There's only one place where we can be sure of not being overheard. We must go underground.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll all get into the vicar's shelter, sir.
Not his shelter, Wilson. The crypt.
Oh. Right. Platoon, attention.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Permission to interrupt, sir.
Yes, what is it, Jones?
I wish to apologize for the cramped upness of the men. When you commanded us to creep into this crypt, I did not comprehend completely that you had contemplated us parading in these confined conditions.
Yes, all right, Jones. Thank you. Now, men. I brought you down here because I have something highly secret to tell you. And I don't want it to be overheard.
Come, Manuel. Would you mind speaking up a wee bit? Can't hear a word you're saying, man. You're mumbling.
I'm keeping my voice down, Fraser, because what I have to say is secret.
And it will go on staying secret unless you speak up.
Walk up. What I have to say must not go out of this crypt. Do you understand?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wilson, light another candle, would you? Very gloomy in here.
All right, sir. All right.
Ooh. This reminds me of the McConaughey family vault on the Isle of Barra. Wild and lonely place, you understand. And when the wind blew from the northeast, it was so strong, you could hear the bones rattling in their coffins.
Thank you, Fred. Now, on Saturday, a new secret weapon is being tested on the disused airfield just outside the tower. And we have been chosen for special duties.
What exactly do they have to do, sir?
I don't know, but Captain Stewart gave me a list of articles to bring. Perhaps they'll give us a clue. Read them out, Wilson.
All right, sir. Yes, well, here we are. Three knives and three shovels.
Three knives and three shovels?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can we hazard from that?
I've got it, Mr. Mannering. It's in case we capture a fifth columnist. We can kill him and then bury him.
Don't start. Now, what are the other things, Wilson?
Three bars of soap, three scrubbing brushes, and three buckets.
Perhaps it's a dirty secret weapon.
You've got to
clean it.
No, I shouldn't think so, Jones. They'll have experts to do that. Anyhow, whatever these special duties are, I'm sure that I can rely on you to back me up to the hilt.
Mr. Speaker, I've just been struck by something deadly.
Blimey, don't tell me we've got scorpions down here.
I've warned you.
I look at it this way, sir. We're all in possession of highly secret information. Supposing we were captured by enemy agents, how much torture could we stand before we exposed ourselves?
Jones, you're going into the realms of fantasy now.
Don't start that realms of what's his name again, sir. This is vital. We could be tortured, sir. Any of us could.
Don't pull yourself together, Jones.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but I must awake you to the deadly danger.
All right. Calm down.
Mr. Mannering.
Yes, Pike.
They might try that torture where they tilt your head back and pour gallons and gallons of water into you.
I don't think I could stand very much of that.
I should like to volunteer to be tortured, sir. Let me be a guinea pig. Let me see how much pain I can stand. Let me suffer, sir. I demand to suffer.
Shut up, you suffering old duffer.
Captain Mannering, Fraser slapped me. What did you do that for? That hurt, that did.
Fraser, what do you think you're playing
at? I'm sorry, sir, but the corporal here was getting a wee bit hysterical.
All right, then that's enough. Will you all please calm down?
Permission to whisper, sir.
What is it now?
Someone has just crept into the crypt and is creeping up on us.
Thank you, Jones. Right, I mean, just pretend that everything is perfectly normal. And I will... Right, come out, whoever you are. Put your hands up and I'll shoot.
Don't shoot. It's only me.
Hodges, how dare you spy on us?
I wasn't spying. Your candles were flickering through the gratings. Jerry Plank had seen them for miles.
You must have heard everything we said, sir.
Blimey, you'll blow the gaff.
Of course I won't. I do happen to be fighting for my country the same as you, you know.
Don't rely on him, Captain Mannering. He's a real blabbermouth.
You're right, Jones. We can't afford to take any chances.
I couldn't screw him down in one of my coffins, sir.
He'd suffocate.
Wasn't that the idea?
We're not cats.
Why don't you shoot him, Mr. Mannering? Go on, you're entitled to.
Shoot him! No, there's only one thing for it. We'll have to take him with us on Saturday. Meanwhile, we'll have to keep an eye on him and make sure that he doesn't talk to anyone.
Well, I can watch him during the day, sir. I'll help him in his greengrocer's shop.
I'm not having him in my shop. He'll cheat the customers.
That'll make two of us.
How dare you?
I could keep an eye on him at night, sir.
Thank you, Godfrey.
I'm not sleeping with that old man.
Why, I don't snore or anything.
You do as you're told, Hodges. For your information, we've been picked for highly secret special duties, which is a great honor. And I'm not going to have it ruined by you. Believe me, Mr. Chief Warden, you've got to be something very special to be picked for special duties.
Here, mind me, you're chucking them spuds, Pikey. That water went right in my eye.
Oh, look. I've got potato stains all over my hands. I'm going to be furious.
Oh, special duties. Since when a spud bashing be special duties?
Hoodwinked. That's what we've been, Wilson. Hoodwinked. I should have known better than trust that smarmy Captain Stewart.
Well, you can't blame him, sir, for all he's got a job to do.
Oh, I'd expect you to stick up for him, Wilson. After all, you probably both went to public school.
Well, you know, I can't help thinking that you've got a bit of a chip on your shoulder about that, sir.
I have no chip on my shoulder, Wilson. Tell you what I have got on my shoulder.
Hmm?
Three pips. Don't you forget it.
Here, Napoleon, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Special duties. Hey, it's a good job they're not using cavalry, or you really would have your work cut out.
Yeah.
Hodges, if you must be rude to Captain Mannering, kindly stand to attention while you're doing it.
Thank you, Wilson.
It's all right, sir. I just won't allow you to be insulted by outsiders, that's all.
Look out, here comes Grandad. Been digging for victory, have you?
Mr. Mannering.
What is it, Jones?
I just found out what they wanted to bring these shovels for.
Hey, Joe.
What is it, Pikey?
I'm going to sneak out for a minute. I want to listen to High Gang on the wireless.
High Gang? What are you talking about? There's no radio around here.
Oh, yes, there is. Brought my portable with me. It's in the back of Mr. Jones's van. Come on, while Mr. Mannering's not looking. Hurry up, Joe. Close the door. I don't want Mr. Mannering to hear.
Oh, there we are.
Here it is. I hid it under these old sacks.
Blimey. Where'd you get that from?
Made it myself. Got the instructions from Practical Wireless.
You're cleverer than I thought you was, Pikey.
Yes. Mum says I'm not just a pretty face.
Yeah, she could be right there.
I'll switch on.
I can't hear anything. You sure it's working?
Well, it takes a long time to warm up. Hey, I can't wait to hear what Bebe and Ben are up to this week.
Here.
Do you think Vic Oliver really is 85?
Well, Stuart, what do you think of our new secret weapon now that you've seen the real thing?
Very impressive, sir. It looks just like a giant Catherine wheel.
Yes, with 2,000 pounds of high explosive in there, enough to blow a small town to kingdom come. Now, are the technical boys ready yet?
Yes, sir.
Right, now the target is that concrete pillbox half a mile away. I'm going to direct the wheel straight at it.
Right.
I'm going to switch on now. If the wheel's receiving, you'll hear the signals over our loudspeakers.
Very good, sir.
Stand back. Here we go. She's off!
Oh, very good, sir.
She's responding beautifully, splendidly, splendidly. Look at her go. Straight for the target.
Absolutely first class.
What on earth's that?
My gang.
Stuart, I've never heard that before.
I have, sir. I heard it on Wednesday. It's a repeat of High Gang. It was awfully good.
Well, what's it doing coming over our transmitters?
I don't know, sir.
What's happening to the wheel?
It's stopped. No, it's not. It's moving again. It's coming back this way, I think.
Well, it's weaving all over the show. It's not responding to our radio signals at all.
Look out, sir. It's coming towards us.
What? Oh, good Lord! Quick, take cover behind the sandbags. Take cover, man! By Jove, that was a close thing. Now, where's it gone now?
It's over there, sir. Just by those aircraft hangars.
Well, good grief, it's not supposed to do that. Oh, it's no good. I can't control it. Get the transport, quick. We must get after it. It's heading straight for Warmington.
There isn't any transport, sir. I told the drivers to come back after tea.
You blithering idiot!
Well, I've got my motorbike, sir. And Captain Mannering's platoon have got their van.
Right, get on your bike, ride over to Mannering. Tell him to drive into Warmington and warn them that if that wheel thing reaches the town, it will blow it sky high. Then get to the nearest phone. Warn GHQ.
Yes.
There. That is definitely the last tatty I'm going to peel.
Well done, men. Those are the best potatoes I've seen for many a day.
No, don't take any of his soft soap. He's only trying to get round you because he's dropped you all in it.
Don't you talk to our officer like that.
My sister Sissy says if the job's worth doing, it's worth doing well.
Oh, does she? Well, you want to bring her here then? Get her peeling some spuds, mate.
Captain Mannering, quick. I need your help. It's escaped.
What has?
The secret weapon. It's broken loose and it's heading towards Warmington. It could blow the town sky high.
Don't we must warn panic, them. Don't panic. We must warn Warmington. Warn Warmington. Don't panic.
Don't be quiet. Right, come on, men.
Wait a minute, sir, We don't know what it looks like.
It's a small seaside town with a pier.
No.
It looks like a huge wheel, and it contains 2,000 pounds of high explosive.
2,000 pounds of high explosive!
Jones, pull yourself together. Oh. Right, into the van, hurry.
Hold on! The town should be warned by the AARP, it's regulations. I'm coming with you!
Well, all I can say is you'll be doing me a big favor the day you get rid of that old hay bag. No, not you, Mama. Sit down.
Oh, I like that bit. When he says, no, not you, Mumma, sit down.
Come on, mate, come on.
Hey, hold on, they're coming, quick. Hide the radio.
Yeah.
Here, shove it under these sacks. That's it.
I haven't switched it off yet.
Well, never mind about that now.
Hey, what are you two doing skulking in here?
What's going on, Jock?
Warmington and sea's going to be blown sky high if we don't get there at the toot.
What? Yes, we've got to warn them.
Oh, come on, Godfrey, shift yourself. I'm trying to get in.
Mr. Hodges, you are the rudest, most common man I've ever met in all my life.
Oh, yes. Well, to you. Come on, Jones, get a move on.
I'm doing my best, sir. This vehicle is very sensitive. It likes to be coaxed.
Oh, we haven't got time for that. Put your foot down.
Mr. Mannering!
Don't shout in my ear like that, boy.
Sorry, Mr. Mannering.
What is it?
You know that secret weapon?
Yes.
What's it look like?
What did Captain Stewart say it looked like, Wilson?
Like a huge wheel, sir.
It's like a huge wheel, yeah. Like.
Ah, thought it might be.
Why do you ask?
Because it's trying to pass us now.
To pass, Mr. Mannering.
Oh, come on, Mr. Mannering. Do something. Be quiet, Hodges. Put your foot down, Jones.
I'm doing nearly 25 miles an hour now.
Remember, there's 2,000 pounds of explosives in it.
Whoa! Oh, right you are, Mr. Mannering. I'll take her up to 28 miles an hour.
That's it, Jones. We'll soon get clear of it.
It's still there, Mr. Mannering, and it's got all sparks and flames spurting out of it.
It's following us, Mr. Mannering.
Turn off to the left, here. That'll fox it.
Mr. Mannering, it's uncanny. It's still following us. Impossible.
I can't shake it off, Mr. Mannering. I can't shake it off.
It seems as if it's been attracted by something in this van.
Perhaps it's taken a fancy to the spare wheel. Turn left again, Joe.
Right, Mr. Mannering, here we go.
I think we've lost it, sir. It went straight on.
Thank goodness for that.
It looked to me as if it was going to blow up at any minute, sir.
Yes, it was very angry, Mr. Mannering.
That'd be absurd, Jones. How can an inanimate object be angrier?
Well, I don't care if it is in what you said. I think it's got a grudge against us.
What are we going to do if it blows up, sir?
That's not our problem, Wilson. We were told to get back to Warmington. I know what I'm doing. Believe me, we've shaken it off.
Yes, I hate to be a bore about this, but if we've shaken it off, what's that up ahead?
Where?
There. Just sticking out from behind those trees.
Oh, is there anything against us?
You're right. Jones, stop the van.
Yes, sir, yes. Right you are, sir.
Manly, what do you think you're doing stopping suddenly like that? I'd bang my head then.
Nothing slight, I hope.
Quick, everybody. Get out, bring your rifles.
Come along now.
Are you coming, Hodges? Oh, well, I think I'll stay here. That bump on the ears made me feel a bit dizzy. Oh, you're here.
Yes, sir.
Right, now while the wheel is stationary, we're going to creep up on it and try to immobilize it.
Do you think that's wise, sir?
It's still spitting flames, Mr. Mannering.
It's making ever such a funny noise.
Aye. If you ask me, there are forces at work here that we know very little about. It is the pay to tamper with the unknown.
Oh, stop rolling your eyes about, Fraser.
Don't forget, there's 2,000 pounds of high explosive in that thing.
Stand by with your first aid kit, Godfrey.
Oh, yes, sir. You can rely on me.
You leave it to me, sir. I'll immobilize it. I'll give it a poke with the old cold steel.
For goodness sake, use your head, Jones.
If you don't mind, sir, I'd rather use a bayonet.
It's gone awfully quiet, Mr. Mannering.
Perhaps it's sulking.
Hey, look. There's all smoke coming out of it.
Yeah. All right. Keep calm, then. It's only a smoke screen.
Yeah, this smoke's getting worse. I can't see a thing.
Oh, Jonesy, be careful of that bayonet, man, you old fool.
I can't help it. I can't see where I'm going.
Woohoo! Oh, Mr. Jones hurt me, Mr. Mannering.
I'll fix that bayonet at once.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
Here. The smoke's clearing.
So it is.
Now then, what's happening, Mannering?
Ah, Captain Stewart. It's all right, sir. The wheel's been following us, and we are just keeping it under observation at the moment.
Oh, really? Where is it?
Over there, but... Good heavens. It's gone.
Just a minute. Where did all this smoke come from?
Out of the secret weapon.
Did it? Ah,
That was phase two. It'll go into phase three next.
What exactly is phase three?
The explosion.
Don't panic. It's going up. It's going into phase three. It's going to explode.
Jones.
Stop it, Mr. Manrin.
Get a grip on yourself.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
I wonder why it tacked itself onto you. Have you got a radio in your van?
No, I was going to get a gramophone, but it's difficult to wind and steer at the same time.
The point is, how can we put it out of action?
Well, there's an aerial situated on the side of the wheel. If you can chop that off, you render the weapon harmless.
Oh, you can safely leave that to us, sir.
Yes, but do be careful. I have to leave you. I've got to report to GHQ. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Speaker, we can do it like Boadicea.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, with knives on the chariot wheels.
I could get you a chariot.
Where from, Joe?
Well, you know, the one the vicar had in his pageant.
Oh, yeah, saw that.
Yeah, the vicar played a victorious Roman general returning from the rape of the Sabine women.
Yeah, I didn't find him terribly convincing in that role.
Anyway, Mr. Man, if we used a chariot with the knives on the wheels...
No, you're off into the realms of fantasy again, Jones.
I could shoot the aerial off, Mr. Mannering. Go on, let me shoot it off. Let me.
Be quiet, Pike. Now, look here. What I suggest we do is to stand alongside the road with our bayonets fixed, and then when the wheel comes along, the bayonets will slice the aerial off.
That was my idea.
You cried, Jones.
Well, it's all right when he suggests it, but when I suggest it, it's always the realms
Jones,
of... Fa-
Jones.
I still think we should shoot it off. Go on, can I shoot it off, Mr. Manning? Please,
quiet,
I want to shoot it.
I'll... Quiet. Now, what we'll do is this.
I hate to put a damper on the conversation, sir, but how can we do anything when we don't even know where the wheel is in the first place?
Ah. Well, I was just coming to that.
Why don't we use Pikey's portable radio and lure it into the open? I mean, it can't be far away.
That's a good idea. Portable radio?
Well, I've just realised that's what's been attracting it.
Stupid boy. Why didn't you say anything when the captain asked us if we had a radio in the van?
I didn't want to look a fool in front of him.
Well, it's all right, Frank, it's all right. We wouldn't want you to look a fool either.
You speak for yourself, Wilson. You should stop mollycoddling this boy. Go and get the radio, Pike.
Yes, Mr. Manning, right away.
Now listen to me. This will be our plan of campaign. I'm going to use Pike's radio to try and lure the wheel along this road, and we shall be standing by, ready to slice off its aerial as it comes past.
Mr. Manring, here's the radio.
Switch it on.
Yes, Mr. Manring. There.
Turn it up, Pike. I can't hear anything.
It's warming up, sir.
Oh. Right, men. Fix bayonets.
Aye, sir.
Radio's coming on now, Mr. Manring.
Oh, it's Victor Sylvester. What a lovely tune that is.
Yeah, isn't it, Mr. Godfrey? I remember taking the floor to that very tune with Mrs. Fox at the Butchers' Federation Ball. Celebrate the opening of the new slaughterhouse.
Yes.
It was a smart affair, you know. Everybody was in tails. Well, when I say everybody, I don't mean the women. They were wearing dresses, you see.
Jones. Of a highly delicate operation here. There's no time for your reminiscences.
What's that noise?
Sounds like the wheel. We must have woken it up.
Ah, you've woken the sleeping monster. You should have let it lie. Who knows what doom and destruction will bring down us.
Oh, be quiet, Fred.
Oh, dear, look. Coming out of the bushes.
It's the wheel. For Mr. Panic, sir, it's the wheel,
I can see it in the wheel, Jones. Right, men, line up along the roadside now. Quickly. Now then, Pike.
Yes, Mr. Manreen.
The plan is this. I want you to take the radio, walk back down the road, away from us.
Sir.
Now the wheels should start to follow. And with any luck, it can come past here. And we shall cut the aerial off.
What if it catches me? If it starts blowing sparks and smoke all over me, I don't think my mum would like that.
I shouldn't think you'll be very pleased either.
Wheels reach the roadway, sir.
Keep going back, Pike.
All right, Mr. Manreen.
Look, sir, it's weaving from side to side. Victor Sylvester must be affecting it.
Ah. What is it at all for it? The thing's possessed.
Oh, look, Fraser, I'm getting just a little bit tired of your histrionics. Good heavens, what's going on now?
It looks to me like a reverse double chassis. Very tricky step, that is.
Don't be quiet,
it's coming towards us, sir.
Right, get ready with your bayonets.
Captain Mannering, I wonder if I might excuse...
Oh, not now, no, no. Need you here in case of accidents.
That's what's worrying me.
Right, keep the volume up.
Yes, Mr. Mannering.
The bill's getting awfully close. Stand by, it's getting nearer. Right. Any time now? Any... What's happening?
Going back again, sir.
Hold on. It's coming towards us again.
Right, man, get ready. Here it comes. Steady now.
No. It's going back again, sir.
I think it's been infected by the rumba music, sir. Very catchy, you know. It can get hold of you.
Blimey. I hope he doesn't start doing the gay Gordons or we're really in trouble.
Hey, Mallory, why don't you stop playing musical chairs and do something?
Oh, go and find a stone, Hodges. And crawl under it. Right, man, it's coming again. We'll get it this time. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready, sir.
Stand by to sever the aerial. Get ready. Right. Now.
We've severed its connection, sir. We've done it.
Well done, man. Look out. It's going to fall. Keep clear. Get clear.
It's dead.
We've done it, Mr. Mannering. We've done it. We've killed the monster.
Well done, Mr. Mannering.
Rather sad in a way, though. One has grown quite attached to it.
It's just a heap of metal, man, when all's said and done. It didn't affect me in the very slightest.
Captain Mannering?
Ah, Captain Stewart.
You've nobbled it then, eh? Jolly good show, chaps. Jolly good show.
Thank you, sir.
Well, all things considered, I don't think that was at all bad for a first test, do you?
Well, I can't help feeling that you've got perhaps just a little more work to do on it.
Yeah, for a start, you'd better book it a course of dancing lessons with Victor Sylvester.
In that episode of Dad's Army, based on the original television series by Jimmy Perry and David Croft, you heard Arthur Lowe as Captain Mannering, John LeMessurier as Sergeant Wilson, Clive Dunn, Corporal Jones, John Lorry, Private Fraser, Arnold Ridley, Private Godfrey, Ian Lavender, Private Pike, Bill Pertwee, Chief Warden Hodges, Larry Martin, Private Walker, John Barron, Colonel Pierce, and Michael Knowles as Captain Stewart. Round and Round Went the Great Big Wheel was adapted for radio by Michael Knowles and Harold Snowd and produced by John Dias.
Comes time now for our last feature for this week, and it's going to be Hancock's Half Hour from 1955, A House on the Cliff.
The BBC presents Tony Hancock with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, and Sidney James in
Hancock's Half Hour.
One of the biggest items in the cost of living today is the general upkeep and repairs of one's place of residence, especially when the house is an old one. Consequently, at Tony Hancock's house, there's enough work to keep 30 full-time labourers in employment.
Right, give us another nail, Bill. There you are. 63 nails in that lot. That should hold it. How does it look?
Very nice. But there must be a better way of putting wallpaper up. Why don't you use paste like everybody else?
Paste? Because this paper's too thin. The paste would soak right through it. We wouldn't be able to read the headlines. Now, what else have we got to do?
We need a new roof.
Nonsense, I put one on last week.
Well, the rain's still coming through.
I can't understand it. You wouldn't think rain would get through cardboard that thick. I mean, it's the same stuff I sold me boots with. Well, come on, let's get on.
Wait a minute. What about the big hole in the dining room wall?
Don't you dare mind that hole. I want to spend a quiet evening at home tonight, watching next door's television. Come along now. Bring your ladder into the front parlor. The ceiling needs doing up.
Now, we've got to be careful with this ceiling. I've been expecting it to fall down ever since last Tuesday.
Why?
That's when the walls collapsed. The front door. That must be Moira.
Not so hard! Come in, Moira. Pick up the door and close it. Put your hat and coat on the hall stand, Moira.
What hall stand?
Has that nail fallen out again? I must apologize for the mess, Moira. We're doing a few repairs.
Oh, not again. Can't the landlord do something about it?
I doubt it. He died in 1827.
Well, the place is in a pretty bad condition, isn't it? I'm sure the foundations are shifting.
They are not.
Well, then why have you had to change this address three times in the last month? You used to be just round the corner from me. Now it's one and threepence to telephone you. And another thing, why don't you do something about all that long grass?
Lots of people round here have got long grass.
Yes, but not growing through the floorboard.
Leave it where it is. I like having me tea on the lawn.
Let's face it, Tony, it's a waste of time and money trying to repair this place. It should have been pulled down years ago.
I daren't. This house is at the end of the street.
Well?
Pull this one down, the lot go.
Well, they might as well. It's leaning over at an angle as it is. I don't know how you managed to stand up straight.
What? 6-inch sole on your left boot? You're well away.
Now, why don't you do the sensible thing and move?
Well, that's exactly what I intend to do. I have decided to build my own house.
You what?
Yes, this place gives me the willies. It's winter and the wet weather's with us and, well... Could have cut one of those W's, I'm sure. I know an Englishman's home is his castle, but I'm getting fed up with living in the moat. So I'm getting out. I'm going to build my own little house. Oh, that sweet little home in the west.
Now, wait a minute, Tub. You can't build a house just like that. There are a lot of things to be considered. You've got to get plans drawn up by a skilled architect.
I'm not bothering with all that nonsense. I've designed it myself. Like that bloke, Christopher Waff.
Wren.
Bad, it's dear enough. I've got the plans here. There you are. Have a butcher's at that little lot. That's a picture of how it'll look when it's finished.
Oh, yeah? And you designed this all by yourself?
Well, not exactly. It was my idea to tear it out of the book. Anyway... That's what my house is going to look like.
But, Tony, this is Buckingham Palace.
I realize that. I'm not an idiot. Thank you. Thank you all. I repeat, I'm not an idiot. I realize I can't build it exactly the same as this. Naturally, I'll have to leave a few things out.
Such as?
Well, them sentry boxes can go for a start.
You can't build a place like that. It's got over 500 rooms.
We can take in lodgers. I've worked it all out, you see. I'll need a few bricks, a couple of sacks of cement, half a yard of sand, a bucket of water, and everybody stand back.
Has it occurred to you that to build a place like this had cost over £1 million?
I'll have to start saving up, won't I? See, I can cut down to 6 meals a day and...
Oh, Tony. Tony, be sensible. It's a very natural thing to want to build a house of your own. But you must be practical about it. You must build something you can afford.
Yeah, put a door in one of the sentry boxes.
Why don't you settle for something nice and discreet? A little bungalow, perhaps?
Oh, yes, that's it. A bungalow. I can just see it. I won't have stairs. I'll have a lift going right up to the top floor.
And just... Tony. Tony, this may come as a shock to you, but a bungalow has nothing upstairs.
Perfect. A house reflecting his own personality.
Now listen, you Australian layabout.
Now, boy, please. What about this bungalow?
Yes, I'm sorry, Moira. When do we start?
Well, you can't start yet. You have to buy the plot of land first.
Yes, of course. Must have land. What a pity father had to sell the estate. Just thrown in for good measure. Land. Where can I get some land from?
Wait a minute. I know the very guy.
Oh, yes? Who?
Well, just about the finest estate agent in the business, that's who.
Oh, no. Not...
Yeah,
no.
Sid James.
I might have known it. And how long has he been selling land?
Ever since he found out how many people are buried every year.
Well, you can just think of someone else, because Tony's not buying any land from him.
No, I am not.
Why not? What's Sid ever done to you? Tell me.
It would be a pleasure, but the BBC closes down at midnight.
You know, Bill, I can't understand you. You're the only one who doesn't see through him.
Yes. Look what he did to me last week. He sold me 100 silver-plated cigarette holders for 15 quid.
Well?
That's a lot of money for a packet of pins. Listen, you can forget all about Sidney James.
I think you're being very silly. Sid sells his land cheaper than anybody else in the country.
Well, there must be something wrong with it.
He's got thousands of acres all up and down the country.
Yes, I bet it's that little strip that runs in between the railway lines.
Look, Tubb, the least you can do is go down to his offices and see what he's got to offer.
All right. All right. Seeing as I'm desperate for some land, I'll give him one more chance.
Look, all you've got to do is beat him at his own game.
Me?
Of course.
You. Brilliant, yes.
You can do... Why, you've got more brains in your little finger than he's got in the...
You're too kind.
Look, be more astute than he is.
Me,
use
more
that,
astute.
That high-powered business brain of yours.
Yes, a typhoon or a tycoon. That's it. That's me. Good lad. I will. That's it. I'll battle him with figures. Einstein Hancock. Come along.
Come in.
Now, see here, James. I understand you have X number of acres for sale at Y number of pounds. Well, I want Z number of acres at B number of pounds. I'm prepared to go up to C number of pounds, but the way I see it, if M equals the marginal profit and D equals the discount per annum, then Y over B plus C over X minus the square of D plus M would equal the sum of Q plus E over W times the quotient of F plus Y over K.
So what does that prove?
I don't know, but I'm red hot on the alphabet.
All right. Now, let's get down to business. What can I do for you?
Tony's looking for some land to build a house on.
And you've come to me. A very wise decision. I've got some of the finest land that's ever been reclaimed. Now, whereabouts did you have in mind?
Oh, I'm not fussy. What have you got?
Well, wait a minute. Let's have a look at my maps.
Ah.
Oh, yes. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this lot here marked in red.
Yeah.
That's £2,000 an acre.
Yes.
This here in green.
Mm-hmm.
£1,500 an acre.
Yes.
This lot here in yellow.
Ah.
£1,250 an acre.
How much for this big lot in blue?
That? Oh, £3,600 an acre.
I love it. I'll build me house right in the middle of it.
Please yourself. But you better leave your bedroom light on.
Why?
The ships might hit it.
Have you got anything on the coast, Mr. James?
Certainly. This lot marked in red, I showed you. 17 acres there, smack on the south coast. You can only have 12 of them, though.
Why?
The other 5 fell into the sea.
Never mind, Tubb. 12 acres should be enough to build a house on.
Of course. And not only have you got the land on top of the cliff, you've also got the beach right down to the sea edge.
That's nice.
And it's only £2,000 an acre.
Well, I'll have to get on to be broker about that.
Why?
I'm broke. Next.
No, never mind, Tony. Don't worry about the money. I'll help you out with a few thousand.
Good girl, Maura.
Look, we've got to decide just where we're going to build.
Oh, yes. And there's one little point I forgot to mention. I always stipulate that any building done on any land sold by me must be done by a building company nominated by me.
Yes, that's fair enough. Which building company do you nominate?
Mine.
Yours?
Yeah.
You're going to do all right out of this, aren't you? What is this building company of yours?
My card.
Why? So you only employ German labor?
Do what?
Sidney James Jerry Building Limited.
All right, we won't go into that. Now, let's get down to details. I suggest we build the house on the beach underneath the cliff. It'll shelter it nicely. All right?
Sounds fine. Yeah, well, I like that.
All right.
I can see that, yeah.
Now, that should provide you with a very comfortable little home, right up to 8 o'clock at night.
Well, what happens then?
Then you move out.
Why?
The tide comes in.
And where do we move to?
Into the other house.
Oh, I see. The other house.
The what one we've had built on the cliff top.
Oh, that old thing. Whose idea was it building that one?
Mine.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Yes, you're the man who owns the building company, aren't you?
Right, mind you, I'm only doing it for your own good.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you don't want to stay in that one on the beach all night and drown, do you?
No, of course not.
Well, then, you've got to have another one built on the cliff top, haven't you?
Yes, I suppose we have.
Well, shut up, then.
Just a minute. I can't afford to buy two lots of furniture.
You don't have to. You take it with you when you go. Now, look. You start moving the furniture at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then when the tide comes in at 8 o'clock, you just have time to nip back down and lock all the doors.
Why?
To stop the sea getting in.
Well, then, if the sea can't get in, why can't I stay down there?
What, and leave all the furniture out on the cliff top all night?
Yes, I hadn't thought of that.
Now, look, just a minute. Why can't we just build one house on the cliff top?
Well, you can do. Then where are you going to live during the day?
Where are we going to live during the day? Well, it's obvious. We he's right, you know. He's right. We've got nowhere to live during the day. Homeless. Trapped in the moors, waiting for night to come so we can go home. He's dead right.
Tony, don't be so silly. He's not right. I know plenty of people who manage perfectly well with one house. We'll build it on the cliff top. We don't want the one down on the beach.
Don't want it? I've paid 7,000 quid for that house. I'm not knocking it down for you or anybody.
It's not built yet.
That's no excuse. It's my home. Just because you don't like it, I'm supposed to knock it down and have nowhere to live during the day.
You can live in the one on the cliff top all the time.
Then who's going to live in the one down on the beach?
Nobody!
You expect me to leave it down there empty after all the money I've paid for it?
Look, I'm a bit confused.
You're not alone.
Do you mind explaining once again, very slowly, just why you need two houses?
I give up. I'm surrounded by idiots. Tell them, Sid, tell them. They're a bit slow, you know. They're not as bright as me.
Well, it's quite simple. You've got one house on the cliff top.
Yes, all right. We won't go through all that again. Take it from me, Tony. You are being twisted.
How can you say such a thing about the man who's just saved my life?
Huh?
Saved my life. If it hadn't been for Sid's foresight, I might have been drowned in mid-bed. We're having two houses built, and that is that.
Good. Now, there's just one point about the house on the cliff top. If the weather gets rough and the sea undermines the bottom of the cliff, the house might collapse.
Oh, dear.
But you've got nothing to worry about. I'm going to take precautions.
Good lad, Sid. My pal.
I'm going to build you another house 2 miles inland.
Yes, of course. No point in taking chances.
But, Tony...
But the man saved me life again.
So now we've got three houses. One underwater twice a day, one liable to collapse any minute, and there's nothing wrong with the third one, is there?
Not a thing. Perfectly good house.
Then let's just settle for that one. Forget about the others, eh?
Don't be ridiculous, Maura. The only reason we're building this one is because the other two aren't safe. If you don't build them, there's no point in building this one. The reason's gone.
Yours isn't doing so good either, is it?
Right, then. Now, that's 3 houses at 7,000 nick at a time. That's 24,000 nick.
Wait a minute. Add it up again. 22,000.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Just watch it.
Right, now, if you sign the deeds, we'll just...
Just a minute, Sid. I've just thought. It's going to be a bit dodgy getting this furniture up from the beach every night. One feels such a Charlie climbing up a cliff in your pajamas. And grand piano and a couple of goldfish bowls strapped on your back.
Well, of course you do. Which is why I've engaged the Sydney James Steel Construction Company Limited.
And what do they build?
Escalators.
I thought they were. How much?
To you, 2,000 quid.
I'll have two. One up, one down. And I'll have a couple of dozen corset adverts to stick up along the side.
Right, well, that's settled.
Just one other thing. When the house on the cliff top falls down, which it will do...
Naturally.
Of course. How do we get the furniture over to the house that's 2 miles inland?
Don't worry about that. I bet Sid's thought of something.
I have.
I knew he had. How much?
5,000 quid. Payable to the SJEC.
SJEC?
The Sydney James Engineering Company.
And what do they build?
Railways.
So now we've got... our own railway.
I want a ride!
All right, now. If you just sign here, we can get started.
Right.
Now, well, go on. What are you waiting for?
Just thinking about that sentry box. If I was 9 inches taller, I could be living rent-free.
Sign it.
All right. Anthony A., St. John Hancock, second. There. Now, how much do we owe him, Bill?
Let's see. 12 acres of land at 2,000 an acre. Plus 3 houses at 7,000. Two escalators, railway lines, 2 stations, engine, 4 coaches, and a guard's van. That's 2 and 2, carry 3, makes £144,000.
Moira, ring up the bank, ask for a loan.
But you haven't got an account.
Here's a bob. Go and open one.
Well, there we are. We'll start construction first thing tomorrow morning. And good luck.
Isn't it marvelous? I only came here to see about a little bungalow.
Never mind, Tony. I don't care what anybody else says about you. To me, you'll always be...
Yes?
A complete idiot.
Thank you, Maura. My word, they are getting on with it, aren't they? There's no doubt about it, you can't beat the British workmen. Look at them going it. That's the third brick they've got into position in the last hour and a half. They'll never keep it up.
Hey, look out, Tub. Mind that crane. Don't walk underneath it.
Oh, my word, yes, a big one, isn't it? Sorry, Mr. Foreman.
That's all right, mate. All right, Charlie, lift the weight. Slowly up. That's it. Swing around now. Gently.
Don't drop me. Right, that's it. Hold it. Now, slowly down. Slowly. Slowly. Over a bit. Slowly down. That's it, lovely. Another 6 inches. Down. Slowly now. Slow. That's it. Perfect.
Look at it go,
Charlie.
Now you know why they only lay three bricks in an hour and a half. Surely they can work faster than this. I've got a good mind to complain to the foreman.
Don't do that. They'll all go on strike.
Nobody would notice.
Oh, now, be fair, Moira. Some of them are doing their bit. Look at that little bloke over there. They've had him on the go all day. Never stops, poor little devil, mixing away there. Look at him, shoveling it in there. What's he making?
Tea.
Where did Sid get him from?
I don't know, but it's the first time I've ever seen overalls without us on them.
Hey, look at that carpenter there. He doesn't know what he's going to do for a start. Talk about wasting wood. Every half hour, I have to go over and dig him out of the sawdust.
It's all your fault, Tony, agreeing to pay them time and a half for overtime and double time on Sundays.
Well, what about it?
Well, now they only come in at 5:30 and only on Sunday mornings.
It's not good enough, Tub. I've seen some lazy workmen in my time, but shovels with built-in armrests, I ask you.
And another thing, Tony, I'd like to know where Sid's getting all these bricks from.
I can tell you that. You know he bought half a dozen rowing boats last week.
Well?
You know that lighthouse over there?
Lighthouse? Where?
Exactly.
I wish they'd get a move on. We could build it quicker ourselves.
We'll probably have to. Look, the carpenter's just switched the light on.
What happened?
The electricians have come out. Hello? There go the bricklayers. That's all they needed. Mark my words, half the country will be paralyzed before the night's out. Oh, well, let's get to work. There's some hard graft ahead of us. This house must be finished. We've all got to put our backs into it. No shirking. Bill, you can lay the bricks. Maura, you're a strong girl. You can dig the trenches.
And what, pray, are you going to do?
You'll both be needing tea, won't you?
About those workmen, Billy. Lucky they got those first 2 houses built before they went on strike.
Well, they should have come out and strike before they built them.
Why? Something happened?
Well, no, except that the one on the cliff top is now where the one on the beach was, and the one on the beach...
Yeah?
That was sunk last night. But don't worry, we're managing all right in our own with the third one.
So I see. I like these new style temporary buildings.
Contemporary.
Not the way you're doing it, son.
What's wrong with the way we're doing it? I'm very proud of myself. I've built a complete wall today.
Yeah, isn't it about time you stopped? It's 220 yards long.
I know. I have the same trouble when I'm knitting. I just can't seem to turn the heel.
Oh, I must admit, Billy, it's coming along nicely. I like that big bay window over there. Very nice.
It's not supposed to be there. Tony leaned up against the wall before the cement was dry.
Have you seen inside yet, Mr. James?
No. Where's the front door?
Well, it should be here somewhere. Oh, there it is up there.
Oh, Bill.
Well, how was I to know that the plans were upside down?
Well, I would have thought you might have suspected. I mean, it's not normal to have a television aerial in a coal cellar, is it? I don't know. I've been around, but I've never seen a house with a flat roof with pointed foundations before.
Never mind. It'll confuse the flies.
That reminds me. Where's Hancock got to?
There he is, chatting to your foreman over there.
course, this isn't the first time I've been on the building, though.
I didn't think it was.
That's right. Well, you can tell by the expert way I sliced these bricks in half with me trowel, can't you?
Yes, it's very, very clever, very clever.
Mind you, me fingers aren't as long as they used to be.
Well, they know as well. It does happen.
Still, we all make mistakes.
Yes, of course.
I come from a long line of builders, me,
you
know.
Do you?
My great-grandfather helped to build the Tower Bridge.
No.
Yes, he was the bloke who sawed it in half.
Was he?
Then there's the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Your family built that?
Every stone.
Good, dear.
My Uncle Fred designed it. Well, I say he designed it. I tell a lie. That isn't exactly true.
No?
It was a rough sketch of my mother's wedding cake. The Italians liked it, so we put it up.
But tell me, does it really lean?
Ah, no, well, strictly speaking, no.
No?
Between you and me, it's dead straight.
Is it?
Depends how you're standing, of course.
Yes.
It's the way they hold the cameras that's what does it, you know.
That's what, yes. That's what
anyway, my biggest job, that's the one I was going to tell you about.
Yes, yes.
Just a minute. Undoubtedly, it was the fourth bridge.
Oh, yes.
That's right,
yes,
it was the fourth bridge.
It was.
I remember distinctly because the other three fell in.
Did they? Yes.
Yes. Anyway, I was in charge. I decided we'd start building from both sides and meet in the middle. Follow me?
Good idea.
Yeah, you're ahead of me.
Yes.
I can see. You're intelligent.
Yes.
Of course, you know the fourth bridge. It's got those big arches that go up and down, all the way across.
Oh, yes, yes, I know the one, yes.
How those trains ever get up and down those things, I know. Still, that's their worry. I was only building it.
That's right, yes, I remember.
So anyway, there we were. We'd started from either side.
Uh-huh.
We had a race to see who could get to the middle first.
Oh, competition.
What is a good thing?
Yes,
I think so. I'm all for competition myself.
Bats things up, isn't it?
Fun?
Bats things up.
You're overdoing it a bit, aren't you?
Well,
anyway, we were going along like a house.
On fire.
On fire? You should have put that in. We built the first 27 yards in 3 seconds.
No.
Well, we had to. There was a train behind us. Well, we were doing very well. Right up until the fog sprang up.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't know how it happened. The long and the short of it was...
Yeah?
We passed each other. Well, I felt the right Toby jug, I can tell you. There was the other half of the bridge. 20 yards past me and 6 feet on one side. Well, I blamed it on the crane driver.
Yeah?
Oh, the bloke who was lifting the big girders about. It's your fault, I said. I was annoyed.
Well, naturally.
Puce, I was.
Yeah.
The old face was red with anger.
Well, he's a puce.
I did. I got a right to change my mind, haven't I?
Yes, sure. Well,
thank you very much. Just keep chipping in. Don't try and dominate. Well, as I said, my old face was red with anger.
Yeah.
I clenched my fist till the muscles on my arms stood out like marbles.
Yeah.
I looked up at him and I shook my fist. It's your fault, I said. You weren't looking where you were going, I said. Undo all that lot, I said, and go back and start again, I said. It was me speaking.
Yes.
Well, I don't know whether it was the authority of my voice or the sense of shame he must have felt, but he did it without a murmur.
Did
I should have said he'd done it without a murmur. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter.
Grammatical mistake. We can all go wrong.
Yes.
He could see I meant it.
Uh-huh.
He started his crane up and got going. Of course, he was eager to rectify his mistake, see?
Yes, of course.
There he was. I'll never forget it. Never forget it.
Yeah.
Just if it was today.
Yeah.
Swinging this huge crane around like a toy, dead keen.
Was he? Yeah.
And you know, he had a sort of sheepish, apologetic smile on his face.
Oh, no, yeah.
Just as I walked away, having won my point,
yeah.
Being the foreman,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what he did?
What?
He dropped a 10-ton girder on my head.
Quickly, we've finished the house.
Oh, third time lucky. Wonderful. My own little house at last. One day it'll be our home, Mora. That wonderful golden day when you shyly carry me over the threshold. Where is it?
Where is it? Well, it's there. Well, it's right by... Well, it was there a minute ago. Mr. James?
Yeah?
Mr. James, have you seen the house anywhere?
Well, I tried, Mora. I slung a rope round it, but I couldn't save it. Gentlemen, remove your hats, please. You can just see the television aerial going under now.
Going under?
I want to congratulate you, Hancock. You're a pioneer. The first man to unsuccessfully build a house on Romney Marsh. Well done.
Romney Marsh, dig it out.
Me money, ruined, nowhere to live. You must find me a place to live.
Don't
you understand?
Don't worry, son, for 1,000 quid I can tell you.
Here is the news. Last night, a sentry box was stolen from outside Buckingham Palace. Will the thieves kindly return the sentry? And if anybody can give any information, please communicate with Scotland Yard. You'll be listening to Hancock's Half Hour, featuring the lad himself with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, and Sidney James. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the program, which was recorded, was produced by Dennis Main Wilson.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our All British Comedy Special this week, and we'll do it again if you're interested. You can always write requests to radioent@gmail.com, and make sure you mention podcast, and we'll see if we can get it on here for you. Until next week, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.